it seems like all night long we've talked and testified about how that we're glad that we've got a God that doesn't forget about us, doesn't lose track of us, He answers our prayers. And I want to say again, I'm so appreciative of the Holy Ghost coming through and speaking. God letting us know that He hears our petitions. I mean, it gives us confidence, doesn't it? Gives us confidence. I want to read these scriptures. They're very familiar. It's nothing you've not heard before. But I felt like the Lord, He's dealt with my heart about these all week long. And I just want to read these scriptures to you. We're not going to preach no big long message here, so I don't get nervous, amen. But I just really felt like reading these. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Amen. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. I just want to start at verse number 1 and just read down through here. Some of you probably already know what this is all about. But I love this. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." You know, I thought about this, and at one time, this was a great multitude of people. It doesn't really go into the circumstances of how these bones come to be dried and in this desert place. That wasn't important at this part. But the fact of the matter is, at one time, they were living and they were great. And for some reason or another, they got to the place to where they felt like they had no hope, and they felt like they were dry, and they felt like they were removed. And because of that, they was bleaching in the sun. But God said that I am going to put them back together. I'm going to put their muscles upon them and the skin back upon them. I'm going to clothe them that way. And not only that, I'm going to breathe my breath and they are going to live. And when they live, I am going to bring them out of their graves. You know, I was thinking about these scriptures and hearing these testimonies. You know, there was a time in this life when this world in general looked to the church. I remember during, you've read history accounts in the 20s, the Great Depression, and in World War II and all the different worlds of Korean War and the Vietnam War, it seems like whenever there came tragedy, whenever there came trouble, that people turned to God. And we've seen it even in our own time. Back in 2001 when the World Trade Centers collapsed, for a time, though it was short, people began to not only fly their flags for patriotism, but they said church attendance peaked more in those few months than it had ever done in a long
long time. And I was thinking about all these things, but we're living in a time right now. We're not the same country that we was in 2001. And not only is this country not the same, but this spiritual world is not the same. There was a time when people, God's people, trusted God no matter what. It didn't take a famine. It didn't take a war. It didn't take some kind of a tragedy. They was faithful. But we are entering into a time when no one no longer turns to God. And not just from the outside, but we're getting to a place to where us, God's children, are fainting and failing to turn to God. Amen. I mean, it's one thing for the world to do that because we kind of expect that out of them. They don't believe. But when God's children start getting to the place to where they don't believe, then what do we have? If the foundations be removed, the Word of God says, what can the righteous do? We're living in a day and hour where God is no longer an option for people. You understand what I'm saying? They don't acknowledge Him. They don't look to Him as the supreme being and creator of this world because there's so many other things that has filled their lives. And that same spirit is creeping into God's church. Now, the words that I'm speaking to you tonight are not meant to scold, by no means. But I'm trying, as I felt like the Lord dealt with me, that we need to shake ourselves and stir ourselves. Even tonight, God showed us that He is listening. When I thought about this, I'm thought, okay, here we are. We're in a desert. It's dry. The bones are scattered. It's a grave. And right in the midst of this place, God's going to send revival. Now, the true definition of revival is not a series of meetings with an evangelist. Amen. Revive is the root word. To come alive, to make alive, to bring alive. That was once alive that has died revives. And if there's ever a day and hour that the church of the living God needs revival, it's the hour we're living in right now. And we're going to find revival in the most unlikely place. Who would have thought that in the midst of this type of circumstance that the Lord would come down and raise up a mighty army and bring them back to life? You know, we're living in an hour and a time right now that somebody already said it just a few moments ago. I believe it's Sister Mary in making comment to somebody's testimony. And Brother Danny, I use this a lot. He always laughs at me. But we are truly overwhelmed by the cares of this life. We are truly overwhelmed. You know, there was a time when we'd find sickness in the house of God. It's always been there. Trials, they've always been here. But you'd have to agree with me. I've never seen it like we've seen it right now. You know, it's not just the dad that's struggling, but the mom's struggling. And the children are struggling. It's not just scattered here and there, but we're living in a time when whole families are being fought. When whole couples and lives. I mean, you know, we've got examples of it right here tonight. There's several of our people that's not here battling sickness. Even our pastor. You know, several's got lost loved ones and things in this life and our occupation in this life. This world is crumbling. Somebody said today, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it can turn around. I said, what it's going on is it's swiftly bottlenecking to the end. There's no turning around. Do you hear me tonight? I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but there's no turning around. This world has rejected God so much. This world has turned God away so much that it has to be judged. There's nothing that's going to stop the judgment of God. The end is nearing. But what we need to be careful was is the Bible warned us that in the last days, perilous times was going to come. And we've heard that quoted so many times. We've heard it preached to its threadbare. But friend, we're right here in the middle of it. And what? It's no accident that homes and lives are so inundated with problems and situations. Somebody said it tonight.
sides. I believe in Sister Sherry. You get so caught up in the struggles and in the battles and in the turmoil, amen, that before you know it, amen, you no longer fall on your knees and get a hold of God. You no longer look to God for your strength because it seems like you're just losing hope. It seems like nothing's going to work. It seems like it's never going to turn around. And when we've got individuals and families in the church that struggle like that, then we all get together collectively. What does that mean? That means we have a house full of people that's losing their confidence, that's losing their faith, that's losing their strength. And if there's ever been a day and an hour that we realize we need to hold on to God, we need to realize God's not failing. God's not lost control. It's going exactly the way God wants it to go. But what we have to do is we've got to abide faithful. We've got to hold on. We've got to not look at the circumstances. We can't look at the storms. We can't look at the trials. We've got to keep our eyes on God.
We chide Peter so much because he took his eyes off the Lord. But he had enough confidence to step out. And not only did he have enough confidence, but he had enough sense when he was sinking to look back and cry out. Hallelujah. I want to tell us, church, again, I'm not browbeating. I want to give us encouragement tonight. Let's not let our hearts be troubled. Let's not let our eyes get overwhelmed with what's going on around us. Amen. How many really loves the Lord? How many believes God's in control? If you truly love him and you truly believe he's in control, then you must have faith that no matter what comes my way, God's going to work it out. God's going to take care of it. David said, I was young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. It don't matter how dark it gets, there's light in the land of Goshen. Great God in heaven, God's going to keep his people. There was turmoil in Egypt, but there was help in Goshen. There was darkness in Egypt, but there was a light in Goshen. There was plagues and there was famine, but God's people had plenty. I want to tell us, we need to be careful and not get our eyes on the desert and feel like we're entombed. This world is not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers. When I gave my heart to God, I turned away from this world. Now I'm looking and seeking for another country whose builder and maker is God. This world is not my home. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. This world is being judged. But if you're God's person, you're God's child, you will not be part of his wrath. That's the word of God. Are you hearing me? But what's happening is the enemy so slyly is coming in and pulling on the fleshly side of our nature. I want to ask you a few questions. If you lose your home here on this earth, that wouldn't be good, would it? But is it at the end of the world? If the car ends up on blocks in the front yard, wouldn't be good. But is it the end of the world? If you only got a few suits to wear, is it the end of the world? What's Brother Mike always say? Pork and beans, beans and pork. Is it the end of the world? But it feels like it to us, doesn't it? There's some of us right now, our minds are so tore up because of this economy. Our minds are so tore up because of our elected officials, because of the direction that this world's going. We are so perplexed about everything going on around us that it's causing us to lose out with God. We don't pray like we should. We don't read like we should. We don't trust God like we should. We don't be faithful to God's house like we should. Isn't it funny, the first time this stuff, trouble hits us, God's the first thing that begins to leak out of our lives. And he's supposed to be the best thing we've ever found. Are you hearing me? That's no accident for that to happen, because the devil is trying his best to get us so overwhelmed that we lose out with God. Wouldn't it be a shame, amen, to trust God all these years and be a part of his house and come down right to the very end? We say we want God's will for our life. We say God can do all things and God can never fail. God's not failing now. Are you hearing me? I said God's not failing. This world's failing. This world's falling apart.
food. This world's going to judgment, but God is not failing. And as long as we trust God, He'll help us.
What happens in this life has no bearing on our salvation. What happens, Sister Lisa, in this world should not have no bearing on our salvation. If I went through here and I was to ask individuals, most of us, I would be safe, I feel, in saying this, wouldn't say, I mean, you always got some. But for the most part, I wouldn't hear this. Well, I'm being battled because of things I want to do in this world. Or I'm being battled because I want to look this way or I want to go there. That's not the issue. You always got people like that, but that's not the issue. What's keeping you up at night? What's keeping your hands ringing? What's keeping your brow furrowed? God, what am I going to eat? God, what am I going to do? God, where am I going to go? How's this going to happen? How's that going to get fixed? How's that going to get paid? How's this going to work out? How's this situation going to end? What's this going on? And everything we're doing is going directly against what the Lord warned us not to do. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to drink, for what you're going to be clothed in. Amen. I take care of the sparrows and the fowls of this earth. They don't go to a job. They don't punch a time clock. They don't work every day, but I take care of them. I take care of them, clothe the grass of the field. Amen. How much more? How much more, amen, am I going to do for you? But Matthew 6:33 says, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these others shall be added unto you.
We're allowing ourselves to be perplexed and overrun by cares that we need not to be worried about. We're allowing ourselves to be overrun by things that's out of our control. All along, while all this is going on, our family members are dying lost around us. While we allow ourselves to sit in church and be overwhelmed by these things, our church services are suffering. Come on here now. God can't move where there's unbelief. God can't work where there's doubt. I'm not saying that we're backslidden, nothing's happening around here. I mean, I'd be a fool. We just had the Lord move. That's not what I'm saying. But really, did He have His perfect way? Did He have His perfect way? God said, these bones, they're all dried up. They're dead. They're in their grave. But I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to put them back together. I'm going to breathe on them. And they are going to live. And I am going to bring them forth out of their graves. A few chapters over, 33 or 34, in the same book, Ezekiel, God said, and that dark and cloudy day, I, the Lord, will seek out my people that's scattered. Huh? And I'm going to gather them together. And I'm going to bring them together. And I want to tell us, church, that God's doing that for us tonight. Amen. We need not be fearing and we need not be worrying. God's going to take care of His people. This Bible, I ain't even got time to get into it. I'm about ready to break my promise and go longer than what I said I was going to. But this book right here is full of promises where time and time and time again, God delivered His people and brought them out. God made sure His people was taken care of. And I want to tell us, church, let's not faint and grow weary in the hour we're living in right now. Because the Bible says if we will, amen, we'll make it after a while. Amen. We'll reap in due season if we faint not. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And I'll tell you what else the Bible says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to tell us, church, let's keep our faith up. Amen. Let's keep our hopes up. Let's not let the devil browbeat us down to the place to where we can't even feel the joy of God's salvation. Let's not get to the place to where God's Spirit can't reign and rule in our lives and in our midst. I want to tell you something, church. We're going up after a while. Are you hearing me? I said, we're going up. I said, God has got everything in control. All we need to do is trust Him.
I used to sing that song around here. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus, He stays always. He's right here. Master, carest thou not we perish? How many's felt like it? I'm out here in the middle here. I'm taking on more water than I can get off of this vessel. God, don't you even know where in the world I'm at? My natural eye, I can't see a way of escape. But what they didn't know is up on that place in that mountain, the Savior was praying. And the Bible says that his eyes pierced through that storm, Dad, and he saw them toiling in their rowing. He done gave them the word, get in the boat and go to the other side. He already told him, Brother Scott, that's my will for you to go to the other side. Oh, but Lord, you didn't say nothing about the storm. I just told you to go to the other side. He came walking out to him. You guys know the story. And the Lord delivered them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I was so glad the Holy Ghost come through tonight and said, I hear your petitions. You know what that tells me? We're going in the right direction. Huh? We're going in the right direction. Sister Rita, it may not look like the right direction. It may not feel like the right direction. I want to keep on following him. Huh? Let's not get homesick for this world, but rather lay up your treasures above. I just want to tell us tonight as we stand all over this building, if the Lord tarries, as far as this world is concerned, it's heading for judgment. It's marked for judgment. But I want to tell you something tonight that has no bearing on God's people. We've got lost loved ones, don't we? Huh? We've got people that are discouraged. I don't understand people. Just walk out on God. Just walk away. I don't understand. And understand what I'm saying. Maybe 20 years ago, we don't have that much time. You hear me? We're right down here, right here at the closing of it all. God's getting a number together, and it's going to be a faithful number. Sister Mary, you taught the other morning on Christmas about Simeon and Anna, I believe. From Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to Matthew, first book in the New Testament, 400 years of silence. God called no prophets. God spoke no word to this world. For 400 years, silence from heaven. But there was a man by the name of Simeon that held on to the promise given to him by the Holy Ghost that said, you're going to be alive to see God's Christ. I told Sister Mary, I said, I hear people say, well, if we have to, we'll just go back to the field, Brother Scott. We'll just go hide in a cave and worship God. No, we won't. We can't even do it in these pews. Are we going to really make that kind of sacrifice to go hide somewhere? I don't think so. You want to know why? Because the world's attitude toward God is not like it used to be. I want to say this, and I'm trying to be kind. I ain't trying to be mean. But if God was to lift the hedge off of some of us like he did Job, we would backslide and curse him. We would backslide and curse him. It's going to get rough. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be tough. But he has given every man the measure of faith. We can make it, Brother Scott. Quit judging your experience with God and your salvation based upon the happenings of this world. Are you hearing me, church? If we have to put spiritual blinders on, let's quit gauging God's ability upon the things that's happening in this present world right now. If this government crumbles tomorrow, I'm serving a God that the government of God was built upon his shoulders, and he is the chief cornerstone of that government. Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my spirit. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. Yeah, I know Peter's name means rock, but he was talking about Christ there in that scripture. He was talking about Christ. So if this world crashes and burns tomorrow, we're going up. We're going up. As they begin to sing, I just feel like telling us tonight, just like these, this bones in this valley dried up, no hope. God breathed on them, turned it all around. It's going to be no difference for us tonight, church. God is able. God is working. I believe we're going to see some results in the next few days. But it's going to take an individual that truly loves God and is going to hold on to make it through these next few days. Are you hearing me? If you're a fair weather Christian, you're not going to make it. If the only time you love him is when the sun's shining, you're not going to make it. If the only time you can testify of his goodness is when his hand is mighty upon you, you're not gonna make it. If the only time you can strum your harp and sing the songs of Zion is when the whip is not on your back, you are not gonna make it.
deep inside.
But we must endure hardness
so
as a good soldier. Every time the devil comes in and says, but look at this, look at that, say, that's all right.
Jesus,
I'm heading to a better country.
Near.
God's going to help us, church. How many believes that tonight?
I
said, God's going to help us tonight if we'll keep our eyes fastened on Him and not look to the things of this world, but look to God. How about it? While they sing. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling. What I mean by struggling is maybe you're fighting a battle. Maybe your faith is weak. And you need God to give you strength. This would be a good night to get a hold of God and ask Him to help you tonight. Who'd be the first?
Till the storm passes by.
Come on.
I read in the Bible.
There's nothing wrong with saying I need help.
He brought light to their darkness.
The greater injustice is knowing you need help and doing nothing about it.
How great it would be.
Come on. Who feels overwhelmed? Sickness on this hand. Homes being torn apart on this hand. The devil fighting in this area. And it seems like all hell breathing down my neck. I need to have God speak to me and have me get my eyes focused on Him tonight.
Then
I need to quit looking at everything around me and look back to God.
So
come on. There's some already praying. Won't you make your way to this altar tonight? Ask God to focus your attention back on cross.
But when I'm in trouble or my body's in pain,
some of you dear saints, if you would gather around these that are praying, come on, church. There's every time we was encouraged. It needs to be the hour we're in right now. We're going to win.
So
God's going to help us.
Why should I worry? And why?